This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Rock and Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rock and Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Get your Rock and Mortgage on, son. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indy. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. It's time for Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com and CBS HQ. You hear him on the network every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern with Eye on Fantasy Football. He's been on the bench forever, waxing poetically from down in Florida, I take it. It's Jamie Eisenberg. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm turning the corner, so we got a lot of fans that want to talk to you. Obviously, you're the best at doing fantasy football, so I just want to elaborate really quick that fans suck at it, and that's okay. I suck at it, too. But Jamie doesn't. He's awesome. So you are terrible. You can't pick. You can't trade. You can't start, sit. You don't know what you're doing. You're losing. Your friends are making fun of you. Your buddy's sleeping with your wife. I mean, honestly, dude, it's time to just give it up, drop the pants, call Jamie, and let him handle your fantasy problems, and then you'll start winning cash, and then your chick will come home. There you go. Let's start with Trey. And by the way, I just want to get this out of the way really quick. You're doing fantastic, Jamie.
I'm doing great.
And, Mafia, are you doing fantastic tonight? I mean, how are you?
Incredible.
Is Carver High doing good? Because I know he's on the phone. He's giving me thumbs up. He's doing fantastic. So now that we know that everybody's doing fantastic, nobody has to, say, how you doing, Jamie? How you doing, Pharrell? Or all that. Because we're all doing just happy, fantastic, lollipop city. So we're all so happy that we can just get right into the fantasy. So dive right in and ask questions. Call now or forever hold your peace. Two halves. This is the first half. Kickoff, Trey, in New York, per usual. The man, the myth, is on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Have a drink. It's been a long week of work.
Get him a beverage in the Pharrella Pub.
Thank you. 1 point PPR. I need to start a running back. Latavius Murray, Kerryon Johnson, James White, or Ito Smith.
It's a good group. It's always good to hear from you, Trey. I think James White just in PPR is the safest bet. Just the one thing you want to keep an eye on is if Rex Burkhead is going to play, because that just throws another wrinkle into it. So if you're a little concerned about James White, then maybe go Latavius without Alvin Kamara there. But as of right now, I'll stick with James White in PPR.
There you go, Trey. Have a good weekend. Mike in San Jose.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I have a trade question. I'm looking at maybe getting a little bit better at my wide receiver. I've got Kenny Golladay and then just kind of a bunch of other guys. I'm looking at maybe trading Deshaun Watson and Greg Olsen and picking up Keenan Allen and Josh Allen in a full PPR. What do you think?
I mean, it's hard to give up on Deshaun Watson, but, Josh Allen's got a good stretch of games coming, and you're buying low on Keenan Allen at the right time because at some point there's going to be a target boost, and with the target boost will come a production boost. So if you can afford losing Deshaun Watson and you're happy with going with Josh Allen, then that's a good move to make.
All right, Mike. Let's go to Ulysses in Miami where Jamie is. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
My wife is sleeping actually with my best friend, so fantasy is only going to keep me happy. Here we go. I got 1 point PPR. I need a flex. Hunter Henry, McLaurin, or Kerryon Johnson?
I mean, after seeing what Hunter Henry did last week, it's hard to, go away from that. 9 targets, 8 catches, 100 yards, a touchdown. This is probably actually a little bit of a better matchup because the Titans have struggled with tight ends. So I would probably lean that way. I'm a little bit concerned about McLaurin just with the matchup against San Francisco. They allow the fewest receptions. 2 receivers, and I think Case Keenum is going to be running for his life. So
carry on, you know, sort of just touchdown dependent at this point. So I think Hunter Henry's your best bet.
All right, there you go, Ulysses. Have a killer weekend. 855-212-4227. Kenny in South Carolina, you're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for taking the call. I wanted to ask you, I'm getting killed with injuries here, so I need two of these three running backs, Mixon, Hyde, and Breida, full-point PPR.
I think Breida's probably your best bet. You know, Hyde and Mixon don't really catch the ball a ton, but Hyde's, I think, is just a little bit of a better spot right now because that offensive line's a disaster for the Bengals. I think they're going to get blasted with all the injuries they have on defense. So Jacksonville, I think, is going to be playing with the lead, and that's typically bad news for Mixon. So I probably would go with Hyde and Breida there.
There you go, Kenny. Todd and DC on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Jamie. Go Gators. Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, also John Brown. I'm worried about, like, Julio Jones up against Jalen Ramsey. So who should I start out of those three?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if Jalen Ramsey's going to, you know, shadow Julio. You know, I don't know what Wade Phillips will have him do in this defense. You know, just keep in mind that the opposite side of the field is now very wide open because they lost Talib, they traded Peters, and they bring in Ramsey. So, you know, I think we're going to find out that the other side opposite Ramsey is going to be a target spot. So if they just leave him on one side, then they'll move Julio around. He'll be fine. I'd stick with Julio, and then I would start John Brown over Ridley just because the matchup against the Dolphins is so good.
There you go, Todd. Expert advice from Jamie. Don't forget you can catch his show Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio. I am Fantasy Football. Zach in Wisconsin, you're on a bench.
What's up, boys? I got two questions. I got to go with McCaffrey on bye. I got to go with either Miles Sanders or I picked up Mark Walton. And then for flex, it's either Ridley or Alan Lazard.
Yeah, I'd stick with Ridley. I do like Alan Lazard. I think it's a good opportunity for him with all the injuries to the Packers receivers. But Ridley still in what should be one of the higher scoring games is probably the safer bet there. I don't want to trust Mark Walton. You know, I know he had a decent game last week. It was against Washington. They were at home. Buffalo's going to blast them. So, you know, I just think you're better off not playing Mark Walton than going with the other guy.
All right, Zach. Justin in D.C., you're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, so I got a flex question. So half-point PPR, Jamison Crowder, Latavius Murray, or Hollywood Brown?
I think he was flying in one of those Snoopy helicopters.
I thought he was in helicopters. I was about to ask you that. I think Latavius Murray's in a good spot. You know, it's a tough matchup against the Bears, but, you know, with Alvin Kamara in there, you know, you're going to see probably the six or seven catches that Kamara's been getting. He's had at least six catches in three or four games. You know, he's probably going to be in line for about 12 carries, you know, so probably 18 to 20 total touches. And the Bears just lost to Team Hicks. And I know it's a tough spot for the Saints on the road, but I just think the touches are in his favor over the other guys.
All right, James in New Jersey, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how are you, Jamie? I have two questions. Question number one is Josh Gordon's out. I need to pick somebody up between Dorsett, Auden Tate, or Lazard. And my second question is, I need a defense between the Titans, Seahawks, Houston, or the Colts.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Titans just with the offensive line woes that the Chargers are dealing with. You know, we'll find out if Russell Coon's going to play for them, but I still think the interior of that offensive line's a mess, and the Titans at home, you know, they've been so up and down, but they're still probably going to be able to get to Phillip Rivers a couple times. In terms of the receivers, you know, they're all kind of in the same boat. Actually, you know, adjusting my rankings, have them very, you know, similar. Tate and Dorsett actually back-to-back with Lazard a few spots behind. I just think Dorsett against the Jets, he already beat them up once. If Gordon is out, that's going to be a good start for him. If you're just looking at it, though, not trying to wait till Monday because Gordon could play unless he's ruled out, you know, but if it's a game-time decision, then I'd play Auden Tate just to be safe.
All right, so just an update really quick. I'm watching this Rodriguez-Stevens fight, UFC in Boston, and it's very violent after the first round. And at the end of the round, Rodriguez stuck his tongue out, and in honor of that, Stevens grabbed his package and started, you know, pulling on it so that, you know, he doesn't realize he's on ESPN right now. Like, dude, like, what are you doing with the crotch grab on national television? He's just, like, grabbing his junk and saying hello, and everyone's just watching him act like an idiot. Like, just, you know, can we not have the package grab on television, please? So that, do you remember these two? Didn't they do the whole homophobic slurs in the hotel lobby, too, right? Weren't they accused of that?
Yeah, they did.
These two idiots. I mean, grow up. Grow up. Jesus. I mean, I know you're a fighter and you're a bum, but, I mean, just, you know, fight and be a man and don't be an idiot. I mean, they act like absolute goons. It's, like, unbelievable. And this guy is in big trouble right now. Do you think he's going to stop this fight? He's getting killed.
He's getting close to it.
I mean, he's getting his head taken off. Jamie's like, what is happening here? I thought we were talking fantasy. I'm watching some guy getting his head taken off. There's violence, so it's very important that I see the violence. Dan in Milwaukee, you're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
I need a flex, half-point PPR, James White, Mike Williams, or D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah, I think James White's your best bet. You know, any PPR scoring is going to favor him. You know, he's always in line for, you know, 7, 8, 9 catches sometimes. Hopefully he finds the end zone. Again, like I said earlier, Rex Burkhead kind of sort of throw a wrench into this thing in terms of how the Patriots backfield will go. But I think his role is locked in, and with the receiver injuries being what they are, that's a go-to spot for Tom Brady just as a safety valve. So I think he's just safer than Mike Williams, and D.D. Westbrook's banged up right now.
All right, Dan, have a good weekend. Tony in Houston, H-Town, you're on the bench with Jamie Eisenberg.
Yes, sir. Everybody's talking about Latavius Murray, and I got one too. Half-point PPR, and choose either Latavius Murray or David Montgomery, please.
Yeah, I'd go Latavius there, you know, even in the head-to-head matchup. I think the touches will favor Latavius. The matchup's a little bit better for him just because the Saints have been so dominant against the run. And you never know what's going to happen with David Montgomery. If it's going to be a way from the end of the game to use him, they'll use him early in the game and then go away from him. It's just been so inconsistent. So I think Latavius being thrust into the starter role is a good spot for him.
All right, there you go, Tony. Jose in Houston as well.
Yeah, I need two of these four in a standard league. Lazard, Ridley, Murray, and... can't believe I'm saying I'm hesitant to play him, but Le'Veon Bell.
Well, Le'Veon's the best one of that group, you know, so I think he's your easy one. The other one's a little bit, you know, trickier. I think I'd probably go with Calvin Ridley there just with the matchup against the Rams. And, you know, hopefully he avoids Ramsey enough to still be successful and find the end zone. You know, it's happened more times than not for him in his career, so I think it's a good spot for him.
All right, second half coming up. Get your calls in now, 855-212-4CBS. Jamie Eisenberg's the best at fantasy, better than you. Time to call and have him help set your roster for Sunday on a bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Mafia's just trying to sell me on his bet that Rodriguez is winning the fight. I think they're going at it. I think it's even. I think I'll give you that it was 1.5. I think it's 1.5 each. Like, literally, because he came out of that trouble and got up, touchdown Ohio State on a pick. They are just doing Northwestern 6 ways till Sunday. And then Jeremy Stephens has taken down Rodriguez twice in the third and final round here with some violent takedowns and some sick punches. So I don't know how they're going to score it. Jamie Eisenberg is the best in fantasy in the country. Everybody knows it. All the other fantasy hosts are very jealous of him. They hate him and wish ill will on him and his family, which I find very highly unfortunate. But we love him on the bench, and you can hear him every Saturday night on CBS Sports Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. You hear him every Friday night on the bench for a couple decades now, basically. Here he is, second half kickoff. We're taking your calls. You don't have to ask how we're doing. We're all doing terrible. Steve in Fairfax, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Jamie, in the standard league flex position, should I go with Auden Tate or Joe Mixon?
You know, I think Auden Tate is in a better spot. Mixon's struggling. That offensive line's bad. And I know it obviously works in the same, you know, conjunction with Auden Tate, but I think you're going to see a situation where the Bengals are throwing and Tate, you know, seen an uptick in targets the last couple of games without Don Ross in there. So I like him better than Mixon.
All right, Steve, have a good weekend. Dan in Toronto, north of the border.
Hey, Jamie. I have McCaffrey out this week, unfortunately. So 4 points PPR league. You had two running backs between Peterson, Gore, and Cohen.
Who was the last name you said?
Cohen, off Chicago.
Oh, Cohen. Yeah, I wouldn't play Peterson. You know, it's just against San Francisco, it's going to be tough. I know he was good last week, but, you know, he's just the easy one to avoid there.
All All right, Dan. Let's try Corey in Michigan. You're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Hey, Jamie, quick flex question for you. Melvin Gordon or Hunter Henry? It's kind of hard to say with these Chargers right now.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the one that's productive. You know, Henry comes back last week, and, you know, in one game, he's better than what Gordon has done in two. And I think that'll be the case moving forward, just with the way that the Chargers are operating and the matchup against the Titans. I think Henry's the easy choice there.
All right, there you go, Corey. 855-212-4CBS, 4227 to get on with Jamie. Dave in Wisconsin.
Hey, buddy. Hey, we're looking forward to when you guys get to Wisconsin. We're going to show Carver a good time. As Packer fans, it's called the Green Bay Harbor. Curse splash. Tyler Gabriel, my friend. What do I do, God, Jamie? I mean, can I pick him up? New Orleans sucks against the slot receivers, and I need help. Is he worth the pickup, or is there somebody else out there?
I mean, you could obviously pick him up. You know, he's the last time we saw him, he scored 3 touchdowns against the Redskins. You know, it's just hard to trust Trubisky if he's going to start with the shoulder injury, how good he'll be. Yes, the Saints have struggled with some slot receivers, but they've been a little bit more talented than Taylor Gabriel. So, you know, I'd go look to see, obviously, if Alan Lazard is available. I like his situation a little bit better. Adam Humphries, now that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback, I think he's in a better spot. Ben Pettis, I think, is going to see a boost in production coming up here. So, there are a lot of guys I like better than Taylor Gabriel, but if you're in a deep league and he's the only one that's out there that's attractive, then go get him.
All right, let's try Greg in beautiful Alaska.
Yeah, hi, Jamie. This is a PPR league. I have kind of a wide receiver slash flex question for you. For my wide receivers this week, I have Boyd, Ridley, McLaurin, and Lazard, and I also have Eckler hanging out there, so I'm wondering which wide receiver should I start and who should I throw on the flex? Thanks.
Yeah, I think Boyd and Ridley are the easy choices at receiver, and then it comes down to McLaurin versus Eckler. Look, McLaurin's been more successful lately. It's just a matter of, you know, how good he'll do against a very tough defense for San Francisco. So I would actually lean toward Eckler, but, you know, it's really a toss-up. I just don't like the matchup for Case Keenum and the Redskins offensive line. I think San Francisco, the fact that it's in Washington, is probably the only saving grace for him. So I would lean toward Eckler, but if you want to stick with the hot hand of McLaurin, I understand it.
All right, there you go, Greg. 855-212-4CBS. Mac in Eugene, Oregon.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Jamie? How's it going, Scott? Can you pour me a cold one? I run a brewery in Eugene. I need another one.
Get him a beverage, please. He's very thirsty.
Thank you.
Yep.
So two separate leagues here, guys. I got three separate questions I'll do real quick. Both are flex. I have Amari Cooper, which I didn't even know if he was going to play or not. It sounds like he is. David Montgomery or Jamal Williams. The other question is, do I drop Emmanuel Sanders, pick up Mark Andrews? And then in the second league, flex, Kenny Galladay, McLaurin, or Edmonds?
Yeah, I'll go backwards. I think Galladay is your best bet there. It's a tough matchup on paper, but we've seen Minnesota struggle with receivers, so I think Galladay, just the way that he's playing right now and the targets that he'll see, is your best bet there. Yeah, if you can drop Sanders after he's played, if you're allowed to do that in your league and you can get Mark Andrews, I don't know why Andrews is on waivers in any league, given the tight end position, how scarce it's been with guys that have been productive, and he's one of the best. And then your first one, I'm throwing a blank on what you asked already, so I apologize. go get Andrews and stick with Galladay.
All right, there you go. Matt in Virginia Beach.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Pretty simple question here. I just scrambled on and picked up free agent Latavius Murray. So who am I going to go with here this week, Marlon Mack or Latavius Murray? PPR, yeah, full PPR league.
Yeah, I mean, the PPR makes it a little bit closer, but I just think you've seen the Colts and what their MO is all season. It's, you know, lean on that offensive line, limit Jacoby Brissett from, you know, having to throw more than 25 to 30 times. And Marlon Mack, when he's been healthy, has been fantastic, and he's rested coming off of his bye week. So I think Marlon Mack's a little bit safer than Latavius, but the PPR scoring does make it closer. I just think that, you know, you go with what we've seen so far as opposed to what we may not know from Murray. And I remember what the previous guy was. He wanted to know about Cooper playing, and I think if Cooper does play, that's the guy you go with in your flex spot.
All right, there you go. Nice recovery there on the early Alzheimer's. Three calls left. Ed,
it's my birthday tomorrow, so I'm losing a little bit.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jamie. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Ed, yes, sir. Yes, Ed in L.A.
Yes. Can you give me a cold hot sake?
Get him sake. He wants shots of sake. Check out.
Yes,
so there you go.
I have a tight end question. Yes, thank you. I have a tight end question. My tight end Cook is out, and I got to pick up a tight end. So should I pick up Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, or Luke Wilson?
You know, I mean, just based on what should be the best guy is Delanie Walker. Wilson's clearly a wild card now without Will Disley in there. Rudolph you just can't trust. If you want to take a swing at the fence of somebody, the Jaguars are going to activate their rookie tight end in Josh Oliver, and they're playing a Bengal defense that is just completely torn apart by injuries. They're down Carlos Dunlap. They're down Drake Kirkpatrick. They're down a couple other members of the secondary. It could be a wild card situation where Gardner Minshew hits Josh Oliver for a score. Would not shock me. Maybe also take a look to see if Dawson Knox, the tight end for the Bills, is available because the matchup against Miami and just the Dolphins are so bad. So those are two young tight ends you could pivot toward. But if you wanted to stick with the three guys that you're looking at, I'd go with Delanie Walker.
All right, two left. Eric in Green Bay.
Yeah, can I get a champagne of beers to start off?
Can we get him a Miller, the champagne of beers? I got it. There you go.
All right, perfect. PPR league, I need a flex player out of some of these, one of these four players. Do I trust Allen Robinson? Do I go with Lazard, Singletary, or Metcalf from Seattle?
You know, I think Singletary might be your best bet. You know, he hasn't played since week two, but in the two games that he's appeared in, he scored 11 or more PPR points. It's the Dolphins. They're terrible. He went to FAU, so maybe he grew up a Dolphins fan. I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, there's always that, you know, wild card thrown into it. I just don't think there's any standout guys of this foursome, and, you know, Singletary's got the best matchup on the table.
All right, there you go. And finally, Rick in New York. You're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Jamie, how you doing? What up for Rizzle?
Hey, man.
What's up? Hey, I got PPR. Now that my boy Kamara is out, I'm scrambling. I got Chase Edmonds. I need three of these four. Chase Edmonds, Aguilar, Kenny Stills, and Devontae Parker, since my boy Kamara is out. Three of four in a PPR. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably Parker's the one you want to sit there. Just, again, with the matchup against Buffalo and the way that the Dolphins, you know, are probably not operating with Ryan Fitzpatrick starting. If you just need one of those guys, though, I mean, Edmonds is clearly in a spot that he could be fantastic if David Johnson's out. But I think you said you just need to sit one, so sit Parker. But if you need to play one, then hopefully Chase Edmonds gets the start for hearsake and David Johnson sits.
Does Florida win at Williams-Brice tomorrow against South Carolina?
Of course.
All right, slow down. Check out Jamie Saturday night at 10 on CBS Sports Radio, Ion Fantasy Football. Jamie, killer stuff. We'll see you again next Friday. Thanks for coming on the bench. Enjoy the game Sunday.
You got it. Go Gators.
All right, screw you, Jamie, honestly. Always cheering for those Femi Gators.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Hit the Chiefs last night to win and laid the three. Going to rock Ohio State tonight to win, laying the 28. Hit a bunch of UFC fights tonight. PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's all there. Get all my college and pro plays for this weekend. They're all posted. They're all ranked. You get hockey, baseball, boxing, MMA, basketball. NBA starts next week. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Hide the money from your wife. Sign up today. Dave Grubb is our buddy from Crescent City Sports to talk Saints and Pels. He's back on the bench. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, sir?
I'm chilling. So, tell me about, first of all, Kamara and Cook's injuries and where they're at going into this game in Chicago.
Well, they're out, and, you know, both of them are dealing with some ankle injuries. Kamara also tweaked his knee last week against Jacksonville. So it's a big loss for the Saints offensively. This is a team that has not scored a ton of points since Teddy Bridgewater took over, even during this four-game win streak. That's 40% of the offense right there. You know, Kamara is the primary target outside of Mike Thomas and the leading rusher, and the Saints have not gotten a lot of production out of Latavius Murray as a backup. Cook's been up and down so far this season, but again, he was really their only down-the-field receiving threat at the tight end position. So Teddy Bridgewater is going to go into this game against a very stout Bears defense with not a lot of offensive weapons around him.
And so Josh Hill gets the nod for Cook, right?
Yes. And, you know, but Cook is – Josh Hill is much more of a blocker. He, you know, he can catch a little bit, but he's just not the kind of dynamic down-the-field guy that, you know, you see out of Cook. You know, a guy who had almost 1,000 yards last year with a bad Raiders team. So, you know, it's a big loss. And for somebody like Teddy who needs those security blanket throws and needs a little bit more time than Breeze does to get down the field, and then you add in the fact that Ted Ginn and whomever the Saints have decided on a week-to-week basis at the third receiver spot have not really produced much either, that's a lot of pressure on this offense.
So bottom line is, and then with Smith's injury, ankle, Hendrickson's injury, neck, they got all kinds of problems, but at the same time, they've won all the games since Breeze went down. Now, he's ruled out, but is it true that he's throwing footballs and his thumb's getting better and he's close, and that the bottom line is their defense has carried him in this four-game stretch, and it's like Breeze was never out. All they've done is win.
Right. At the end of the day, who cares how they win? It's just that they win. And I think if you would ask any fans, even if with a healthy Drew Brees, if you had a Saints team that was 5-1 at this point, you'd be very happy. You know, the opening four-game stretch was as difficult as anybody's in the league, and they came out of that 3-1. So, you know, Brees, the reports have been that he is getting stronger. Sean Payton won't give much more than that, and that's typical Sean Payton. I don't think he's in any rush to bring Drew back, because when you look at the Saints' second-half schedule, it's so favorable for them. Five of their division games still to go down the stretch. San Francisco is really the only team outside of the division that you look at as a very competitive game. So the Saints are in a great position. Even if they lose this game, nobody else in the NFC is going to run away from them. I don't think. I think every other team at the top has a flaw that can be exploited, and they've beaten Seattle. And they still have an opportunity to play San Francisco. And I think the Saints, with a healthy Drew Brees, are better than Green Bay.
So the next 4 weeks after this one are, I guess, the next 5 weeks. So the Cardinals aren't in the division, but then it's four straight. Falcons, Bucks, Panthers, Falcons, four straight divisional games after the Arizona game. I like the way their season's playing out. I thought they'd go to the Super Bowl this year from the NFC. Do you still think they have a great shot at that?
Absolutely. If Brees is effective when he comes back, I think, you know, the two biggest concerns with Drew Brees are always at the end of the season, is he fatigued? Does he have the same arm strength? Well, he's gotten a good amount of rest. And his shoulder, which has been the problem the last couple of years, I think should be fine. And if he's rested and ready to go, I think the Saints defense is one of the more underrated ones in the league, just because they don't produce a ton of sacks or a ton of turnovers. But they've been consistently good. And they've dominated some tough offensive lines like the Dallas Cowboys. So I like the position that they're in. And I think that this division is theirs to be had first and foremost. And it's not unreasonable to think that having home field advantage throughout the playoffs is still there for them.
Are you surprised at how well they've done since he's been out?
I have been surprised. I think the biggest thing is that this is a testament to how good a coach Sean Payton is. He didn't decide to just do what he does and continue to air the football out and put Teddy Bridgewater in a position to try to emulate Drew Brees. What he's done is each week it's been, okay, what do we have to do to win right now? And some weeks it's been the defense of the special teams. Teddy had a big game against Tampa Bay, and that worked. Thomas Morstead, who's been special teams player of the month and special teams player of the week in the last month or so, he's been as effective a weapon for them offensively as anybody else on the team. So I think Payton has adapted very well. He understands what his team can and can't do, and he's put them in position to win every week. And what more can you ask?
So Dave Grubb with us, Crescent City Sports. What do you think of how well that defense has frankly carried him?
The defensive line has been outstanding. Cam Jordan, everyone knows about. But when you look at guys like Sheldon Rankins, on the inside, and you see the development of a Marcus Davenport. You know, you see these guys all over the field who are just getting better and better on that defensive line. The Saints don't have to blitz. And in the NFL, that is as critical a skill to have on your defensive unit as any. When you don't have to bring those extra rushers and you can still collapse a pocket, that allows you to be better in coverage. And with the amount of receivers they see on a week-to-week basis, I just think that they've done a great job. And Dennis Allen, he was criticized early in the season, and I think rightfully so with some of his schemes, but he's adapted. And the Saints have not allowed anybody to have a really big performance on them other than Russell Wilson. And you could say Russell Wilson's probably the front runner for MVP right now.
I like what Marcus Williams has been doing in the back there.
Yeah, he and Marshawn Lattimore have really played much better. Eli Apple's been more consistent. He's a guy you know very well, has been picked on a lot for his production, but he's been very consistent this season, forcing some turnovers as well. The Saints' defensive backfield was supposed to be their strength coming into the season. They didn't start that way, but they've come on as of late. And I think Lattimore is putting himself back in the conversation. You know, he was defensive rookie of the year 2 years ago and a Pro Bowler. I think he has that ability to do that again this year, the way he's played as of late.
So what do you think of Bridgewater's stock after all of this? Is it through the roof? Is he going to make a lot of money? He already made a lot of money with this deal. Is he going to make even more?
Look around the league. Look at who's starting for a lot of these teams going into this week. And Teddy Bridgewater's still a kid who's only 26 years old. His last full season as a starter, he was a Pro Bowler. And it's going to take him some time, I think, to get his rhythm. This is what's not an offense built for him. But inside that locker room, that team loves Teddy Bridgewater. And the city has embraced him. I mean, if anybody's watched the game, you've heard the entire Superdome, 70,000 people chanting Teddy in a building that, you know, Drew Brees is certainly the most popular guy around, with Alvin Kamara not far behind. But they have rallied around Teddy Bridgewater. And if Drew Brees is not back, Teddy is your most likely successor. And if he does come back, I still think that you want to have a bridge there because now Brees is at that stage in his career where he could be injured and could miss time during a season. So Teddy, yeah, he's loved here, but I'm certain he will be a target from other teams come the offseason.
Are you surprised that a thumb actually, I mean, you know, that brought him down? Seriously, like that's what got him was a thumb injury? Because that guy's played through everything, and he's been pretty lucky in his career, Brees, and then a thumb gets him. Were you surprised at that?
You know, digits, when you fling it as much as he does, and it's one of those fluke things. You know, he just happened, the best defensive lineman in the NFL, Aaron Donald, is right in your face. He's trying to get rid of the ball, and you hit his helmet. And we've seen it with running backs. We've seen it with defensive linemen. And this time it just happened to get Drew Brees. I don't view it as one of those things where people say it's an age injury. I think it's just one of those freak things. If it had been a knee or a back or a shoulder, I'd be much more concerned. But I think this is a bounce-back injury, and I think he'll be primed to go coming back. If it is, you know, right after the bye, the scene in the Superdome will be insane if he comes back. His first game back is against the Falcons.
So Dave Grubb with us from Crescent City Sports. What's been the reaction today off of the news of Zion Williamson's injury, and he's going to be out allegedly several weeks?
It has been a roller coaster. When it first came down yesterday, when we first heard that Zion was going to skip the Knicks game, you know, the conversation started around load management, started checking with some people, and we had heard that he had finished practice on Thursday, that he was not removed from anything, that he had completed all his drills, but the soreness was reported afterward. And again, they're still not even sure exactly when it happened. So the first, there was just not enough information. But now, once we've gotten the report that it could be weeks, then you start wondering, is it a meniscus injury? Is it a ligament strain? Or, you know, is there something more at work here? And then it invites all the other questions that come along to it with Zion. Is he too heavy? Did he come in shape? And I think it's so hard to speculate. I think David Griffin does not want to take any chances with this young man, nor should he. And we've seen teams take this preemptive approach with guys like Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons or Blake Griffin, who had worse injuries than this, as far as we know at this point. So with the Pelicans schedule, those first 20 games, and it would have been rough with him being fully healthy, I think this is the time. If you're going to rest him now. Make sure he's 100%, because you're not winning a championship this year You're trying to build for the long term, and there's no need to rush Zion, especially considering that this is the deepest team that they've ever had since this team got to New Orleans.
I got 1 minute, respectfully. They still have Ball, Redick, Holiday, and Ingram, just to name a few. So I think they'll be fine, actually. I just think it sucks he's not going to play for a while.
Absolutely. The joy of opening night is going to be much different. People are going to miss him and the excitement. And you saw in the preseason, he's been as dominant as any rookie's been in the last 20 years. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. But I think the Pelicans are a very talented team. Six players in the NBA's top 100, more than any other team in the league. So, at the very least, they should be very competitive and still very entertaining.
And they beat the Knicks tonight, 117-116. That's my Knicks. All they do is lose. They're really good at it.
Watch out for Nikhil Alexander Walker. Anybody who's not paying attention to that kid should really be watching him.
Yeah, he had 17 tonight, and everybody's talking about he's like the steal of the draft.
Absolutely. 17th pick of the draft, a kid out of Virginia Tech that played shooting guard but now has moved and is playing a lot more point. And he's been scoring since summer league, and he can distribute and he can defend. He's almost like a hybrid of Drew Holiday and Lonzo Ball.
I can't wait to see him play. I didn't get to watch the game tonight, but I'll be watching tons of their games. I can guarantee you that. Always good, Dave. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Have a great one.
All right, you too. Have a good weekend. David Grubb, Crescent City Sports, 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.